First of all, I'd like to say what a privilege and pleasure it is to once again have this opportunity to be with you here at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. We trust to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We were away on first Sunday and not able to be here, but we did go to Cool Springs up at Traveler's Rest, and Daniel Wood is pastor, and enjoyed our visit up there with those good people in that church. We're glad to be back here with you at Macedonia, and appreciate very much your. We sort of feel like members now. We've come so regular on first and third Sunday since I gave up my appointments at Crossroads Atlanta on those two Sundays, and I appreciate very much for y'all taking us in and making us feel welcome to worship regularly with you on those Sundays when I'm free. And I appreciate that very much. And I wish for each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I appreciate also the cards that many of you have sent us, and we've enjoyed them, especially and the ones with the pictures of your family and your children. Me and my wife really love those, and it helps us to get to see which children go with which parents, and learn a little more about who each one of you are, and we appreciate that very much. Turn to a portion of scripture here. It's found in the book of Romans. The book of Romans, to me, is one of my favorite books. And the reason I say that is because the book of Romans tells me basically two things. It tells me what I was by nature, and then it tells me what I am through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all need to keep those two things in our minds as we serve the Lord here in this world. And I've always said, every child of God ought to make it a goal. I'm not saying that I've met it always, but it ought to be a goal of each one of us to read through the Bible throughout the year. Read all the scriptures from the front to the back. And then, on top of that, read through the book of Romans every month. That would be a good idea. But I want to take two scriptures this morning that I want to talk about from the book of Romans. And what I've just said about the book of Romans, it teaches me what I am by nature and what I am by what Christ has done for me. These two scriptures, without any other scriptures in the book of Romans, does that very same thing. One tells me what I am by nature, and the second one, which is the major one, I want to deal with this morning, because it's important that we know what we are in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And so we're going to read those two scriptures. It's found in the third chapter of the book of Romans, and it's basically the two scriptures, but we're primarily going to deal with the second one. And it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now that's verse 23 of chapter 3. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then, you know, it would be sad news if that was the end. If we just knew what we were in nature and didn't know the rest of the story, we'd be in a big fix that we wouldn't know what to do with. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Who is that all that have sinned? All that are from Adam. All that come from the seed of Adam are sinners. Sinners by nature. We're all conceived and born into this world as sinners. And all of us, all of God's children, all the people of the entire human race, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it doesn't stop there. Then the verse next, right after it, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now there's two things that particular scripture deals with that we want to center our thoughts in on this morning. First of all, it talks about that we've been justified freely. And I like that word freely, because that's exactly what it was. Freely by grace. But you know, saying freely by grace is saying like this glass of water has wet water in it. Well, we know if it's water, it's wet. Also, if it's by grace, it's free. And we're going to show you, if it's grace, it's grace. And if it's works, it's works. But it can't be both. That comes to us by God, which is eternal life that He gives to each and every one that He chose and elected and a covenant of grace before the world was, is free to you, and it comes to us by the grace of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now we want to center our thoughts on two things: the saving grace of God and redemption that came to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, first of all, we're going to deal here with the fact that it comes to us freely. And it was free to us, but it wasn't free to God the Father. It cost God the Father His only begotten Son. He had to command and send Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, from heaven and immortal glory to come to this sin-cursed earth and to take upon Himself a body of flesh that He could go to Calvary and sacrifice that body to redeem us from our sins. So it cost God a lot. It cost Him His only begotten Son. And Jesus, who had nothing in Him to cause Him to die, died on the cross to redeem us from our sin. Now, we want to see about it being a free gift. It's free unto us, even though it cost God His only begotten Son. We'll find a little further over in the book of Romans, chapter 5, it says this in verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of Him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Yes, it's a gift that comes to us from God, and it was free unto us. When I say it's free, there was no requirement on the part of the sinner to receive this. It's by the free grace of God and the free grace of God alone. But as the offense also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, that's Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Christ Jesus, hath abounded unto many. Now I want you to pay particular attention, because it's very crucial and it's very important that you understand what that scripture says. The gift by grace, which is by one man, that's Christ Jesus, hath abounded unto many. You hear me? It's abounded unto many. Now, that offense that came, which is sin that came to us from Adam, it came unto all. All who? All that are of Adam. But that free grace, that free gift that came to you through Jesus Christ, it hath abounded not unto all that are of Adam, but to many. Many, who are the many? The many are all that God the Father chose and elected in a covenant of grace before the world was, out of Adam's race. And Christ left the portals of glory and went to the cross of Calvary and paid the sin debt and redeemed every last one of them. Not all of Adam's race, but unto many, as this scripture say. How many? The scripture describes it as an innumerable host. In other words, it's too many for me and you to number. It's too many for you and I to know who they are. But God knows every last one of them, and ever how many they are, God will give them life, the free gift of eternal life, life that He gives to each and every one of His children. And if you have a love of God in your heart, it's only because God at some point in your life has reached down and given you that love, and you have Jesus Christ within you, the hope of glory. Now, I'm going to read down, because you probably may have on some occasion when I've spoken to you, heard me speak to you from this, but we have to be careful about what this says, because there's some that will take that 18th verse and they will teach universalism out of it, whether they're of the other order of people, and also I will say even some among primitive Baptists will take universalism. They think everybody's going to heaven, all is well, there is no hell. I'm telling you, this is not talking about that Jesus came to die, bleed and die, and to save every single one of Adam's race. Now let me read verse 18 and show you where they get that. It says, therefore, by the offense of one, that's Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That's all that are in Adam. And then it says, even so, by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, is that all men that receive justification of life? All men that received the condemnation in sin? No, it's not. And if you take that 18th verse and you apply those two applications to the same all men, you'll be in error and you'll have it out of context, because you did not pay attention and read what is in verse 17. And verse 17, what does it say? Verse 17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that is by the offense of Adam, death reigned upon all that are from the seed of Adam. Now let's go on and see what it says. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Who is that second all in verse 18 apply to? All that have received from God the Father abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness that shall reign in by one Jesus Christ. Yes, all that are of Christ. How are they of Christ? Because God chose them, because God loved them in all eternity, and God sent Christ here to redeem them on the tree of the cross. Yes, it's a free gift unto us. It comes to us by God's eternal love and everlasting love in all eternity before the foundation of the world. So if you have a love of God in your heart, you're due to give God all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for salvation that is of the Lord, and He brought it unto you. Yes, it is indeed a free gift. Now we want to turn over into the book of Romans, and I spoke to you a while ago about either it's grace or it's by works. Now what I mean by that, you can't mix grace and works together when it comes to the eternal salvation that came to you by God. There's nothing that you do, nor I do, nor anyone else does to receive eternal life that comes to you by the grace of God. It's by grace. It is not by works. But works is, I'm not going to put down works works to us as God's children, because after you receive that eternal life that comes to you by the grace of God, you have a responsibility to love God and to serve God and to do good works in this world. Will it gain you a home in heaven and immortal glory? Absolutely not. That's already been accomplished for you by Christ on the cross. But I'm telling you, it'll have a lot to do with your joy and happiness and experience in that eternal life that God has given to you while you live here in this world. I'm telling you, that is a fact. It says here in chapter 11 of the book of Romans, we're just going to read one verse here. He says, "And if by grace, then it is no more works." In other words, if something is by grace, and I've heard this definition of grace: grace is unmerited favor that is bestowed upon an undeserving individual. Now, I'm telling you, that's something. Unmerited favor bestowed upon a person that doesn't deserve it to be bestowed upon him. Why is it done then? Because God is a God of love, God is a God of mercy, and God has a children, has a people, and a children, the children with that he's loved in all eternity. What do you mean all eternity? Well, God is an eternal being. As long as God has existed, that's how long God has loved you. It's eternal. It's difficult for me to explain. It's difficult to understand. Why? Because we're creatures of time. Everything we can think of has a beginning and an ending. But God had no beginning. He had no ending. He is an eternal God. And he loved you in all eternity. And it says, if it's by grace, then it is no more works. He's talking about that that comes to you, which is eternal life, that's given to you as a free gift from God. If it's by works, then, and if it's by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. In other words, if you say this, if you say, well, I believe it's 99% grace, but 1% works, then you've destroyed the whole principle of grace. Throw it out the window. It's no good. It didn't come because of 1% of anything that you did. It came because God quickened you and gave you life, because he's a God of love and he's a God of mercy. If it's by grace, then it is no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. And the plain simple truth is, eternal life that comes to us by the grace of God is of God himself, and you had nothing to do with receiving it or getting it. And after you have received it, though, you spend your life with Jesus Christ as and the Spirit of God within you, serving him and doing good works to others and to people that you know and come in contact with. That's simply the way it is. It is by grace and not of works. Now we want to turn over here to the book of Titus, where we'll find that we were justified by the free grace of God. It says here in chapter 3 of the book of Titus, it says, "After the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared," and if you go back before that, it'll tell you all that you were in nature before you received that. "But after the kindness and the love of God and our Savior toward man has appeared and came to you, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's God by His grace that regenerated you and gave you eternal life. And that's why you have a hope and a love in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you had a desire this morning to get up, to come out to the house of God, to praise and to worship Jesus for what he has done for you. But it's the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And then He says, and being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Yes, the free gift, our text says, justified freely by His grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we want to cover a couple of scriptures here now concerning that redemption that comes to us by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We'll find Jesus made redemption unto us. It says in the book of 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 27, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. And then in verse 30 He said, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. In other words, of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We've been redeemed by what Christ did for us, and the transaction that occurs when God reaches down and rescues you from that fallen state you were in Adam, dead in trespasses and in sin, and gives you eternal life and imputes unto you the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through that perfect righteousness that we'll face God at the general judgment whenever time is no more and Christ comes to claim His bride. That by Him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom God hath made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's why you can say that. We have nothing to glory of. We only can glory in the Lord and what He has done for us. Yes, indeed, it's by that we have indeed been redeemed by Christ. We've been redeemed, it tells us in the book of Colossians, by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the book of Colossians, beginning there at verse 12, chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom, that is, in His Son, in Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Yes, we have indeed been redeemed by God through His blood. Now, turning here over into the book of Revelation, we'll find it says that Christ has indeed redeemed us to God. Now here he talks some about those people that I was talking about, those all that have received justification and abundance of grace. We'll find it here in the book of Revelation chapter 5. We'll begin there at verse 9. And it says, "And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof." Now what, if you go up back up and read that, you'll find he's talking about Jesus Christ, who sat there upon the right hand of the throne of God. That's where he's at right this very moment of that we're here this very hour. Jesus Christ is seated there at the right hand of the throne of God, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the earth. Yes, Jesus seated there, and they sang a new song and said of him, "Thou art worthy to take the book." What book? The Lamb's book of life. "And to open the seals thereof, and was slain, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people, out of every nation." That's who they are. God has a people all over the world, all over the earth, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every tribe, out of every people. He's reached down and he's given them life. Some of them will never have the privilege and honor to know Jesus as we know him, or to have these scriptures as we have them, but they have something within their heart that causes them to look to God in heaven. Jesus saved them just like he saved us, redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and has made unto us, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. Yes, our scripture says in the book of Romans, yes, we're all sinners, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we've been justified freely by his grace through the redemption that Christ accomplished on the tree of the cross. Now, when Christ was on the cross, he said this, the work was finished. What was finished? Well, the gospel wasn't finished. Men will still trying to proclaim it every opportunity we get. No, that's not finished. The quickening of God's children is not finished. There's still God's children being quickened every day. But I believe when the last little heir of God has been quickened, some people say, when is Jesus coming back? I always say this, when the last little heir of God has been quickened from death in trespasses and sin unto life, that's when Jesus is coming back. So we see we've been justified, whom we're being justified freely by his grace through the redemption. That was what was finished on the cross, the redemption of all that God the Father gave to him, the payment of the sin debt that clarifies them and clears them before a just and holy God. I thank you for your attention. Pray now for Elder Martin as he comes to preach to you.
Farewell.